Time now for Top Shelf. Today, US novelist Sarai Walker, author of the novel Dietland, is taking us through the books and films that have inspired her writing and which have shaped her personal politics.
Hello, I'm Sarai Walker, and I am the author of the novel Dietland. And the first sort of cultural artifact that I would like to talk about is the film Fight Club, based on the novel by Chuck Palahniuk and directed by David Fincher. So Fight Club might seem like a strange source of inspiration for a feminist novel, but when I saw the film, that was really the first time that I knew that I was going to write a novel. I remember walking home from the cinema and thinking, I have to write something for women that has that angry, punk, defiant spirit, because I just didn't think that there was a lot out there that existed that allowed women to explore those parts of themselves. And so one of the things that I like about Fight Club is that it deals with anger in such an interesting way. Because I think that so often women, we turn our anger inwards towards ourselves, which can often result in depression and self-loathing and just a sort of immobilization. And Fight Club is a great example of what happens when you do feel that way, when you're sort of depressed and angry, but you turn it outward towards the world. And I wanted to explore what would happen if women turned their anger outward at what was causing their unhappiness. So that's one of the ways that Fight Club influenced my novel and has really been an important film for me. So the next thing I wanted to talk about was Haruki Murakami's novel, The Wind-Up Bird Chronicle. So, you know, as a writer, I think it's so important to read. Reading is such an important part of writing, the writing process. And in the early stages of Dietland, I was really struggling because I kind of had this kind of strange novel. I had some, you know, these weird characters and ideas, and it wasn't kind of coalescing. And I just happened to be in a bookshop in London and picked up The Wind-Up Bird Chronicle and immediately got sucked into it, couldn't put it down, just thought it was one of the strangest and most interesting novels I'd ever read. And after I read that novel, which of course deals with all these very strange events and very strange characters, particularly all these strange women that are sort of circling the protagonist. And in a way, I felt like that novel sort of gave me a license to explore the strangeness that was sort of, you know, planted in my novel, but that I had been kind of afraid to really explore. And so I felt like that novel gave me permission to do that. And I'm just so grateful that I happened to just stumble upon it by accident one day. So the next thing I want to talk about is Virginia Woolf's novel, To the Lighthouse. This was about, I would say, 9 or 10 years ago. I went through this period of time where I was trying to write fiction, but I just couldn't find my voice, and it was a very painful time for me. But, you know, again, one thing that writers, I think, should do when they're in that situation is read, because reading can feed your writing. And so I had never read To the Lighthouse, and so I started reading, and I was commuting to a job, and every day on the train I would read it, and it became the highlight of my day. And one of the things I love about that novel, it's one of my favorite novels of all time, is that the way that Virginia Woolf is able to sort of enter the consciousness of different characters. And she does that in a way that I've never experienced ever before in another novel that I've read. And so she really influenced me. You know, my writing is very different from hers, but she influenced me to sort of try that. I think that she referred to it as tunneling and kind of really trying to go deep into the character's mind. And it's something that inspired me and that I tried to do in my novel, to really see if I could dig deep into my character's mind and really explore it at a level that I perhaps didn't think was possible. So that's a novel that I always return to when I want to, you know, think about how to enter a character's mind. So the next thing I wanted to mention is some of the paintings of the Colombian artist Fernando Botero. I first discovered his work many years ago. I was in a secondhand shop, and there was a print of one of his paintings of a fat woman getting into a bathtub, I think it was. And at that time, I had really never seen anything like that before. I'd never seen any kind of positive representation of a fat person in that way, at least in something that looked like a contemporary piece of art. And at that time, I wasn't really involved in fat activism or thinking about fat acceptance, but I really love this painting. And so I began to look at more of his artwork and his drawings and paintings of fat people, particularly fat women. And the thing that I liked about it is that they're just so cute. And I think that, you know, we live in a world where all of our representations of fat people are negative and dehumanizing or cartoonish or monstrous. And here were these cute little fat ladies. And it was really important to me to see those images, to see those representations. And I think that's one of the things that made me start to be more comfortable in thinking about the fat body and thinking about it in a more positive way. It was sort of something that I found in my initial road to fat acceptance. And so I always love looking at his artwork. So the next thing I wanted to talk about is a weight loss advertising or the advertisements of the dieting or slimming industry, because it's one of the things that I play around a lot with in my novel Dietland, is this imagery that's so pervasive in our society. We all recognize it. So, for example, a person who's newly thin holding up their old enormous clothes, right? Or somebody ripping through a picture of themselves, the fat version of themselves, and now that they're thin. And I played around with that, kind of satirizing that in my novel, and people instantly recognize it because it's so powerful and it's everywhere around us, really. But it's so common that we don't really notice these tropes that appear again and again. And so I've also looked at weight loss advertising throughout history, but interestingly enough, there used to be weight gain advertising. Even in the 40s and 50s, there were advertisements for skinny girls to take these certain medications that would help them gain weight to be more attractive. So I think that looking at weight loss advertising over time is a great way to see that what we consider to be attractive or beautiful really shifts over time, that it's not stable, but it's a social construction.
American writer Sarai Walker sharing her favourite artworks for Top Shelf, and that book she referred to, her latest one, is called Dietland, inspired in part by the classic Alice in Wonderland, and it's published by Nero.